If you really believe in the power of connection and relationship and collaboration, and you like talking, then podcast guesting could be a great strategy to get your message out.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back, listeners. Today, I've got joining me in the studio a guest that's going to talk about podcast guesting. So Nicole Holland is recognized as the international authority on podcast guesting, and she's also known as a catalyst who generates creative, out-of-the-box solutions for her clients, colleagues, and friends. Named in Huffington Post as one of the 50 must-follow women entrepreneurs in 2017 and rated on the New and Noteworthy by iTunes, she's also featured in trending publications such as Forbes, Entrepreneur Magazine, The Huffington Post. Nicole regularly shares her expertise on podcasts through virtual summits and courses and from stages across North America. Using a high-touch, customer-centric service delivery model, Nicole helps leading-edge thought leaders, authors, and entrepreneurs strategically increase their visibility, likability, and credibility in a way that works for them. So welcome to the Real Marketing Real Fast podcast today.
Thank you so much, Doug. It's an honor to be here.
Well, I can attest to her high-touch, customer-centric service because we have had the privilege of being the receiving end as a podcast host of Nicole booking some of her clients with us, and it's been an absolute pleasure and probably the easiest interviews that we've ever done.
I love that. I love hearing it. It should be easy, shouldn't it?
It should. So I just wanted to digress just for a quick minute and reference an upcoming podcast next week. So how did we connect?
How did we connect? I think I reached out to you on Twitter, didn't I? Or did you
Absolutely.
Reach out to me? Okay.
Somehow we connected on Twitter.
I thought I reached out to you because I had heard your show and I really liked it. I think that's how that happened.
Well, that's a great place to start. But so Nicole did reach out to me through Twitter. So however we connected with each other. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I'm just releasing a show on why social media doesn't work because people aren't being social. And this is just proof that you can, in fact, build your business if you stop using social media like a radio broadcasting station.
Thank you.
So let's move on to what you do. So, you know, for people that are listening, I mean, obviously you're listening to podcasts, so you like podcasts. The question comes, well, why would I want to be a guest on somebody else's podcast?
Yes. Well, you may not. So podcast guesting, although it's my favorite strategy, it's really only a strategy or a tactic, to be completely honest. And it's not right for everybody. You know, some people, when we're talking about marketing, we're talking about building a business and, you know, bringing in leads and generating sales and things, there are so many things you can do, from traditional advertising to social media to paid social media to groups to all kinds of things. You can have your own podcast, right? For me, I realized that podcast guesting was an opportunity for me to build real relationships with people who I respected, who I admired, and who had similar values. And it was like, oh, well, I would love to have, you know, a coffee with this person, or I'd love to go out to eat with this person, but they don't know who I am. And so they have thousands of people wanting to have coffee with them. And, you know, that's not something that is an option. And so for me, I thought, well, if I, you know, can add value, if I can figure out what they want, and if I can serve it up, then there's a good chance that they'd like to have a conversation with me on the podcast, which also helps me get my message out, which helps me connect with their audience who are my potential clients and customers as well. And so with that realization, that's what I teach others. But I think you have to be somebody who really does value relationships. There's a lot of people out there who get on podcasts because they see it as an opportunity to use the platform, but they don't understand that it's actually an opportunity to create, again, those relationships. And so people who go out on podcasts just to speak, just to get their message heard without really having something deeper, it's not as effective. And there's probably things like starting your own podcast that might be more effective. But if you really believe in the power of connection and relationship and collaboration, and you like talking, then podcast guesting could be a great strategy to get your message out.
Well, you were saying that, what I was thinking was that it also gives you an opportunity to serve a wider audience. I mean, all of us have a sweet spot with our superpower, whatever that is, serving people in business, and we can't serve everybody. So another way, I think, like you said, to give value is you can serve a wider audience. These people might not be your customer avatar because of your price point or how you operate, but if you can add value and teach them, then you're going to help them along in their business, and there's no expectation that you would receive anything. It's just, this is how I can serve my community.
Absolutely. Yes. And that's such a great point, because a lot of people do make that mistake of seeing the audience as buyers. And I mean, I talk about, we want to find where your buyers are, because those are the people interested in your topic. But at the same time, something that a lot of people mistakenly do, I think, is go on shows to sell or to pitch. And that's not the way to do it. It's to build relationships. And when I say relationships, I mean at every level. So there's the relationship with the host, of course, and then there's that adding value to the audience in a bigger way, like you say. And that, I think, is really where thought leadership comes into play. And maybe somebody wants to write a book, or maybe they have written a book, or maybe they just have a belief that they think will help people. I think when you come from a space of integrity, when you really are there to serve, it doesn't matter if it's in your business or just a hobby or anything. If you have a mission and a message, and you find the people who are looking for that support, then you can really change lives.
Well, and I think that from a business point of view, I mean, it really is earned media. And, it's funny how people don't often think of it the same way. I mean, if we're both in Canada, so if the Globe and Mail phone you up and want to do an interview, you think, hey, this is great. So this is just another way to reach your audience, because not everyone reads the Globe, just like not everybody listens to my podcast or your podcast.
Absolutely. And the beautiful thing is, you really can get so specific, because podcasting is still a fairly new, a relatively new thing. I mean, it's been around for a while, but it's catching on very rapidly. A lot of celebrities are getting involved. A lot of big media is getting involved, but still it's an on-demand, very specific niche market that whatever you have an interest in, whatever your niche is that you serve, there's a podcast for that. And the people who are listening are tuning in because they really want to either be entertained, inspired, educated, or, a collection of those things. And so you have people searching for your expertise. And so it's not like they're just flipping channels, right? It's not like we're just reading through a magazine or reading through a newspaper, but we're actually specifically tuning in for the content that you're offering.
I call that the starving crowd. I often ask people, so, hey, if you're going to start a restaurant, what do you need? Is it the best menu, the best location? And really what you need is a starving crowd. And by looking at podcasting as a long tail, where you said, people are looking for a specific niche. It might be bass fishing or fill in the blanks, something that you're interested in, whether it's a hobby or for business. That's the starving crowd. They've subscribed to somebody else's podcast. They're listening to that podcast because they want that type of content. And from a traditional advertising point of of view, like you said, this is only one tactic. It's getting more difficult to drill down and find those specific people that have raised their hand and are waiting for your message.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's talk more specifically about guesting. So for people that are listening going, well, okay, I'm interested in being a guest. So what advice would you give them in terms of considering this type of media?
Yeah, so I think the first thing you need to realize is that it's the right avenue for you, because it's not a quick fix. It is a long tail strategy. It is something that takes time. Again, it goes to relationships. And, you know, some podcasters are booking months in advance, and some podcasters will schedule interviews and then they'll record and the interviews won't go out for months, right? And then once interviews do go out, there's a time that, you know, when it goes out, then it gets subscribers listen, but that's not the end of it. It's something that can go on and on and on and on for many years, and people are just discovering it. And so when you record an episode, an interview with somebody, that can be earned media and lead generation for many, many, many years. And so sometimes you won't see an immediate return. Sometimes you will. So yeah, first of all, think about, is it the right format for you? And will you shine that way? And is it something that you think you would enjoy? And then figure out what the shows are that your target audience is listening to. Something I see people make a mistake, or in my opinion, it's a mistake, is they'll say, okay, I want to be a guest on podcasts. And then they'll go into these Facebook groups and say, who has a podcast? I want to be a podcast guest. And then you have all these people going, I need a guest. I need a guest. I need a guest. And I don't recommend that as a way to get on shows, because if you believe that you have value to offer, then you want to make sure you're being specific and making sure you're on shows that you value and that will value you, and that there's that synergy. We only have a finite period of time. We all have the same 24 hours in the day. And so it's far more beneficial to focus. If you have, you know, 3 hours in a week that you could do interviews, it would make a lot more sense to have those 3 hours go towards interviews that are going to move the needle forward for you, rather than just be experiences. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. And I agree. I mean, it's a long tail. It's a long-term strategy. It's not a short game. It's a long game. And, you know, I had just done a solo episode talking about how to be a great podcast guest. And one of the things I had mentioned in there is that I want people that are not only smart at what they do and want to offer value, but one of the things that helps me decide whether or not they're going to be a great guest for the audience and serve our community is, are they going to work as hard as I am to promote their show? Because I'm going to promote the heck out of their show and give them as many shout outs and drive as much traffic to that episode as I can.
Yes, indeed. And this is something also seen a lot, is that guests will go on shows and then it's like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, bye-bye. Okay, I did the interview. Now what? Next, next, next. And now I want to get leads. And they're just on to the next thing. And a great guest actually appreciates the opportunity, recognizes that in order to have a podcast, it costs time, money, resources. And so you are being positioned. It's like if you were on a stage or something, you wouldn't just go on stage, run off, and then be done with it. There's follow-up and there's preparation beforehand. And I like to talk about podcast guesting in that same way, that the host of the show, the producer of the show, they're giving you a platform in front of people who they have already developed trust with, who are tuning in specifically to this show because they've added value to their lives. And so you get this prime positioning as a trusted expert on the show. So you need to earn it. You need to take care of that host and appreciate that host and treat that opportunity as if it were, you know, worth hundreds or thousands or millions to you, because it can be. And so some of the things that I recommend are, once you do get the yes, or once you actually not once you get the yes, but once you decide you want to be a podcast guest, go out and get some equipment. I mean, at the minimum, you can get a $25 headset that will make you sound better than just your computer audio. I recommend going to the ATR 2100. It's a very affordable option. It's Audio Technica 2100. And I'm sure, Doug, you'll put that in the show notes. But this is a microphone that you can actually take anywhere. It's very light. It travels well. And it plugs through USB. It's plug and play. It has a great sound. It's what I'm on right now. So it's a quality microphone and it's under $100. And that will demonstrate to the host that you're taking things seriously when you show up with great audio, when you show up prepared, that you've listened to their show before, that you've given it a rating and review. It means that you appreciate it. And then once you do that interview, absolutely share it. Put it out there on social media. If you have a newsletter, let your people know that it's come out. If you have a media page where you can backlink to the host's website where your show is living. If you are a blogger, maybe take that content or take notes while you're doing the interview or listen after the interview and make a blog post about some of the top tips you discussed. There's so many ways that you can get the content out and show the host that you appreciate the opportunity and that you are doing something with the opportunity. I just had an earlier interview today where the gentleman that was interviewing me said, oh, you can download the audio and you can, you know, take me out of it and use it however you want. And I said, well, I don't do that. I'll be happy to share your show with my audience because that's what it is. It's your show. So this is a collaboration when we're making this content, and it should also be a collaboration when we share that content.
No, that's a really fair comment. And so, you know, another way to think about it is if you're going to be a potential guest, you might be thinking, well, why would I want to send out, you know, my show? It's going to help build up the host. Is the reverse question is why would the host want to send your episode out? I mean, it's a two-way street. So I think of it as a partnership. I agree with you. It's a great way to build relationships because in today, in the microwave mentality where we want everything in less than 30 seconds, and we think connecting with businesses is sending out a tweet or an Instagram or a Facebook post, it's not. This is a chance to have a conversation with somebody, a dialogue a few minutes before the episode, a great conversation where you're sharing value with the audience, and there's a wind up and a follow-up after.
Indeed. And if you don't mind, Doug, I'd love to go back to what you started with, and that is how we connected.
Sure.
So we connected on social media. So I reached out to Doug and I pitched him to be on his show. But I knew why, right? Like I already liked the show. I saw the value. I saw the synergy. I love that he's Canadian. He loved that my hair is purple. And so we exchanged a couple messages and then we got on the phone. We actually had a real conversation. It was probably supposed to be 5 minutes. I think it turned into probably an hour and a half, but therein was like great value. So I learned so much from Doug. And in fact, I just hired an assistant that I have been struggling with hiring. And that was something that Doug had such a great handle on. And he said, you know, do it this way. And I did it that way. And yeah, I've got a great assistant now. And it's just amazing how you can support one another when you connect with the host beyond just the content of the interview. It really is that real relationship. And I feel like, you know, if I go to Vancouver, Doug's going to be seeing me at his office, you know, maybe we'll go out for a coffee or something, but it's so powerful and it allows you to connect with people who you otherwise would not.
So what do you think is the biggest myth about this tactic? So, you know, we're obviously in the space, so we drink the Kool-Aid. So for people that are listening, what do you think the biggest myth is about them being a guest on a podcast or starting a podcast?
About starting a podcast? Oh, that you build it and they will come. I think that's the biggest myth. By being on a podcast, yeah, you're going to get out there, you're going to talk, and then you're going to have a flood of leads that can't wait to buy from you. And while both of those things can happen, they don't happen just because you show up. it is all that back work. It is the marketing. It is the attention to the detail and the respect for the other party, I think. And when you come from, that more holistic approach, all of those things can happen. You can have a killer podcast and get lots of attention. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing when I started my podcast, and I've been very fortunate to get so much attention, and it is earned. I didn't go searching for it. I literally built my audience by going on Twitter, engaging in conversations with people that I thought would benefit from my show. And if appropriate, I wasn't just blasting and say, here's my show. But if appropriate within the conversation, they identified something that I believed could be solved with my show, I would share that with them and tell them which episode to check out. And so just by doing things, not to get attention, but just to add that value over time, I've garnered a lot of attention and a lot of positive feedback.
Well, and I think the other thing that our listeners need to remember, and I find this more with traditional media, is people forget that every reporter out there every day logs onto the computer with a blank page. Mm-hmm. And as podcasters or a media outlet like we have, you know, every day we're thinking, okay, who's our next great guest? You know, because not everybody who pitches us is a good fit for our audience. So, you know, podcasters, just like reporters, are looking for good guests. So I think a myth is that, well, I couldn't do it. You know, I can't get in. It'll be busy. And I'm thinking the number of times I've got print coverage because I've reached out to a reporter knowing that I've got something that can help them or is good for their audience. And you get booked and people go, how'd you do that? So, well, you ask.
Yeah, indeed. And I think it's how you ask, though. I think it's, again, that awareness of what are their needs? What are they looking for? And is there a match? I just, right before our show, I had somebody who'd been on my show before reach out and say, I'm having a book launch at this time and I'd like to come back on your show. But they had no interest in, and they even said, I can teach about this. And it's like, well, that's not what my show is about. So even though they'd been on my show before and they had been on other things, I supported them in other ways, just coming back to me, it was like another ask without even considering what would be in it for me. And I think that that's really important too, because podcasting is different than big media in that oftentimes podcasters are independent. And so they don't have a huge team or an office with somebody sitting there waiting for the pitches to roll in. They are doing a lot of things. They're running their business. They're running their podcast. They may have multiple businesses, but they've got a lot going on. So the podcasting is also oftentimes they know who their right guest is. And I think when we come to them from a place of me, I am great, and that's why you should have me on the show, rather than, hi, what are your needs? And can I help you fulfill them by being on your show? I think it's a different approach.
Absolutely. And just so everybody's clear on this, you know, we're not looking to have you on so you can talk about your business as an advertisement for 30 minutes or an hour. We're looking for you to add value to people with the expectation that you're going to help them. And you might not get any business directly from them, but you're there to serve them. And in serving them, you have an opportunity to show, first of all, that you care. And secondly, you get to show, you know, that you know your subject matter and become the thought leader. And if people are interested in hiring someone in that space, they may say, I remember listening to fill in the blank on a podcast, and this person was really smart. And then the business, like you said, comes later down the road.
Exactly. I just had a call with a client a couple weeks ago, and she said, by the way, we just closed a deal with a multi-billion dollar company that specifically, when we asked, like, how did you come to find us? They heard me on a podcast. And so that, you know, we had been doing podcasts for, I think, 3 or 4 months by that point. And not all of them were bringing in business, but all of them were adding value. At the same time, the business has been growing and exploding. And I have no doubt that a large part of that is through podcast guesting, but it's not always something that you can trace right back. And so when you are a guest on a podcast, I highly, highly, highly recommend lose your agenda. Just lose your agenda. You're there because you've done the due diligence. You've found a show that speaks to your audience. You found a show that you like the host. You found a show that you believe you can add value to. So just show up and do it. Don't worry about what comes next. You always have to have an opportunity for people to take a next step with you. But in terms of what you're doing there while you're there, I recommend being present, allowing the host to drive the bus, and having a good time. And if you do that, the, like you said, Doug, the people who are going to get value may be the people who may hire you later, or maybe they're going to know somebody who will, or maybe they're going to have an opportunity for you to come to their podcast or to speak on their stage, or an unlimited number of other opportunities that could evolve just when you show up and serve.
And, you know, for me, this is a blast. I mean, I shared briefly before we were online here that in terms of the interview with Adam Urbanski, I had a blast. That guy I could have talked to for days. And our commitment is that, you know, when we're both in the same continent again, we need to get together and have a beer, a glass of wine, or a cup of coffee or something, because we were totally aligned on so many things.
Absolutely. Again, magic. When you show up in service, you can have so much fun, and you never know where that can take it.
So what are you most excited about today as it relates to your business and helping people to become awesome guests on and finding the right podcasts?
Yeah. So, there's so much I'm excited about, Doug.
Okay, we're going to narrow down to one or two things then.
Yeah. So as far as podcast guesting, we've been bringing on a number of new clients who are really dialed in. And I turned away somebody yesterday, and I'm finding more and more these days I'm turning people away. I love to serve. I love to share. So I do have a podcast called Get Guest Ready, which is where I walk people through the process of, you know, how do you find those shows? How do you get yourself prepared? How do you knock it out of the park? How do you pitch yourself? All of that stuff. And I love serving that audience widely. I love helping people get on podcasts. But what I do is more custom and isn't for everybody. And so I dig deep with my clients to figure out what are their goals and who are their people. And then I go ahead and do all the, me and my team, we do all the heavy lifting, find those shows that are a right fit for the client, make sure the client is going to shine, that they're completely prepared, that they understand all those little things that make a difference. And so that they can have those awesome conversations like you had with Adam, to where that could turn into something bigger and more beneficial to both. Also keeping in mind who the audience is and making sure that they're there to provide value to the audience as well. And again, not just make it all about them and all about pitching. And so those are the people I'm really loving working with, is the people who do have their systems dialed in. They know their numbers. They know the value of a lead financially. They know what their ROI needs to be. And then we can really hit it out of the park with results-driven strategy.
Well, I'm going to give you a heads up, because I'm going to ask you a question in a minute that seems to stump most people. I don't think it will stump you. and that is a guest that I absolutely have to have on my show. So I don't think it'll need to let you think about that too long. But I want to ask you a question that wasn't in our show notes. I'm a big believer in learning for life. And I've been reading Tim Ferriss's book, Tribe of Mentors. And I came across a question that I thought was super interesting, and I don't hear it asked often. So here's our chance. It says, what are bad recommendations that you hear in your profession or area of expertise?
Gosh, so many. And the number one I would say is just get out there. Just get yourself out there. Just pitch a lot of people, and it's a numbers game. You're going to get the show. It makes my skin crawl to hear that.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it's the same thing as just saying, just get on social media and post a bunch of stuff without any direction. You don't know where you're going to end up.
Yeah. And then the thing is, I keep getting, then once I just, It's just not, it goes in the can. Then they keep following up. That's brutal too. That's been really common lately where, and I've heard that people teaching. So if they don't respond, send them follow up, send them follow up, send them follow up. It's like, this is unsolicited. This is unsolicited pitch. That's spam. Like, no, don't keep following up, especially when somebody says, no, not interested, you know? So yeah, that would be my, I think, number one thing right now that drives me mad.
Well, I don't have a problem with follow-up. And if I'm in a sales role and I'm selling to a client, if a client says no, and I really believe I can help them, you know, in whatever area that I can serve them, you know, no for me is not going to be enough to get me to leave. But well, I understand what you're saying, because you're pitching somebody to have you on the show. So it's really, they're doing you a favor. I mean, they're good for their audience, but you know, what they're doing is going to help you and your business as well.
Yeah. And I don't agree that pitching is the same as sales. Sales is a completely different animal, in my opinion, because I believe that podcasting is about relationships and about understanding, even though, yes, sales, you have to understand, or you should understand the desires of the potential client. But if somebody says, you're not a fit for my show, and you keep writing them, it is not a good look.
No, it's not.
We are not big media. So, you know, maybe you want to keep pitching the same morning show or the same newspaper. Fine. That's a totally different situation. But when you think about all of the things that the independent podcaster is doing, and it's also extremely, I find extremely disrespectful to make assumptions and to send things. You don't even have the person's name. You obviously have never listened to the podcast, and you're taking this advice of just pitch, pitch, pitch. It's such a bad look. And I see this from PR people as well, to where they will never, ever, ever get on my podcast ever, where they, if they had taken the no and then came back to me and said something like, thank you so much for letting me know, is there a better time that I could follow up and see if you are accepting guests at that time? Or, you know, is there something that you could tell me that would help me in the future to potentially get a yes from somebody? Like, that follow-up question about the no, I welcome that. But just following up after I say no, or when I don't respond because they're a wrong fit and they just pitched me like I'm a commodity, that I don't think is appropriate to continue following up on.
No, and it comes back to about relationships. Is that how you'd want someone to contact you?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So moving along here, why don't you share with us just briefly how you work with your clients and where people can find you?
Yeah, for sure. So right now, while we're recording, my website is going through a little bit of a renovation. So, but you can still go there. It's interviews.convert.com. And there is on that page, I think, four ways that you can connect with me directly. So whether you found value in this podcast, or you do have a question about working with me, or you just want to send a love note, I love it all. And that's at interviews.convert.com. As far as how I'm working with clients, it really is in a very holistic manner. And so reach out and we would explore what your goals are for being a guest and discuss, you know, the realities of how we could make that happen together and take it from there.
And from what I've seen, being the recipient of you booking guests, you obviously prepare your people very well. All the documentation, all the background, the bio, all that information is there. It saves me a lot of time looking them up, checking their social media feeds as I'm qualify them, and you just kind of deliver it all on their behalf, which obviously for busy people who, if you're listening to this and thinking, hey, you know, I don't have time to pitch and reach out to people myself, or my assistant doesn't have the expertise, or I don't have my media kit, I can definitely recommend Nicole in the due diligence that she does and the heavy lifting that she does for her clients.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. And I just took on a new client, and she's in the middle of a bunch of stuff and getting really busy. And so there is time that it takes for us to create all of that, the resources and everything. And so people don't have to come to me with any media kit. You don't have to come to me with anything as far as being prepared, because that's what I do. That's what we will do, is prepare you. We'll prepare everything needed. And then we'll go out, do the heavy lifting, and you'll get a nice little email saying, here, you're going to be on this show at this time. Here's what you need to know. And it's, I would say in the beginning, like the whole onboarding process for the client probably takes 3 hours total. And then they don't have to worry about anything until it's, they still don't have to worry about anything. But then, you know, like 15, 20 minutes of prep before the show is a good amount. And then, yeah, I make it as easy as possible for everybody to win.
Excellent. So it's a bit weird asking you this question because the business that you're in, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. So who's one guest that you think I absolutely have to have on my show? Doesn't need to be a client, be anywhere in anyone in the world that you think would be a good fit and provide value to our audience.
Yeah. So I was just on a podcast interview the other day with a gentleman by the name of Mitch Rousseau, and he has a podcast called Your First 1,000 Clients. And I think the two of you would really hit it off.
Well, hey, thanks for the recommendation. I will look him up or may tap you for that information.
For sure.
So thanks for being such an awesome guest and letting people know that this is a new opportunity for you to serve a greater audience and be a podcast guest, and that there's an easy way to do it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity, because I really love it. And like I said at the beginning, you know, it's not for everybody, but if it is for you, if you're a talker, if you really love listening, if you really love interacting and engaging with people, man, I don't think there's an easier, more fun, more fulfilling way to do it.
Well, and it may, even if you don't consider yourself a talker or a presenter and you're nervous of getting up in front of a crowd, it's a really comforting way to begin your speaking about your business and your expertise, because you could literally be in your pajamas. No one's going to see you. It's going to be recorded. If you mess up, or if I mess up, or if Nicole and I said something that was off, it would just be edited out. So it really is a chance to even begin that. If you're thinking of a career or furthering your career by speaking, this is I think a really safe environment to do it.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much for listening to another episode. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope it's given you some things to think about and some new opportunities to consider for yourself and your business and serving a greater, a wider community. As usual, we will make sure that all of the show notes are transcribed. I will have a link to Nicole's website, all of her social media sites, as well as her Business Building a Rockstar show. So listeners, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you sign up for our email list, and don't forget to follow us on iTunes. So we'll see you next episode.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.